So the four components are, can you first sit unassisted, so unsupported, and cross midline and shake hands? So if they can't do that, I would be leery to have them stand. I would be cautious about having them stand, sit and shake, stretch and point, stand and step with two components, march in place, step forward, step back, step forward, step back.
Hey out there, welcome back to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. My name is Rob. I'll be your host for this episode. This is an excellent episode because we have on a guest this week that's been on the show at least a couple times, Teresa Boynton, and we're going to be talking about an assessment tool for mobility for long-term care residents and actually acute care residents as well, called the BMAT, or the Bedside Mobility Assessment Tool. And we'll get into that with her, and she's very passionate about it, and we are going to have a great conversation. All right, but before we get into that, it's time for the Nursing Home Regulation Question of the Week, and also your opportunity to win a Nursing Home Abuse Podcast coffee mug. It is a fantastic receptacle for your morning Joe. You want to win it? It's very simple, in theory. It's actually not. It is kind of difficult. You first thing you got to do is you have to go over to our TikTok, which is at Justice for Residents, and find the thumbnail that has a couch on it. So you're going to go to our TikTok, go to at Justice for Residents, find the thumbnail with the couch. And then once you do, input your favorite or your dream vacation spot. You're going to put your dream vacation spot as well as the answer to this week's question. My dream vacation spot is my couch. I just want to sit on my couch free of interruptions from any toddlers or newborns and watch the YouTube channel where it's just a coin pusher. You know those coin pusher machines that used to be in casinos and like used to be like in your corner gas station? It's just you put quarters in and maybe it spits out other quarters because it's the way it's they're on trays. But anyway, just zone out, watch coin pusher videos all day, and that's my vacation spot. It's my couch. Anyway, we post a new question every Monday, so keep an eye out. Don't miss your chance to win the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast mug. Winners are revealed every Sunday on TikTok and at our website, shinkfirm.com/podcast/giveaway. I hope that's right. Just go to TikTok if you want to win. Under 42 CFR 43.73A, which requires nursing homes to have an emergency preparedness plan, how often must the facility review and update that plan? Is it A, annually, B, biannually, or C, quarterly? And that answer is A, annually. Every year, the nursing home must review and revise its emergency preparedness plan. All right. Good luck to everybody in your quest to win a Nursing Home Abuse Podcast mug. So this week, as I mentioned, I'm happy to have this conversation with Teresa Boynton. She actually, this is the fourth time that she has guested on the show. The last time was in April of 2020. So it's been a minute, but we're happy to have her back. Teresa is an occupational therapist and an independent consultant specializing in safe patient handling and mobility. With over 26 years at Banner Health and experience at Hillrom, she has helped healthcare organizations improve injury prevention programs. She frequently consults and presents on the Bedside Mobility Assessment Tool, or BMAT, and has shared her expertise on multiple podcasts. Teresa is currently working on a project focused on safer toileting for older residents, and we are so happy to have her on the show. Teresa, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right, so I'm going to give you the most softball question in the history of softball questions, and that is, what in the world is the Bedside Mobility Assessment Tool?
It's a quick tool initially developed to help nurses in acute care settings to be able to identify their patients' real time, current time, mobility status, and needs especially around using safe patient handling and mobility equipment, such as mechanical lifts, non-powered stand aids. So to give them some better guidance on what are the patient's needs right now, it was validated. And then it's really kind of spread to other settings, so including long-term care assisted living as a potential tool, again, to help determine real-time mobility needs and then use the right equipment based on what the resident needs.
Okay, so many questions. The first one, and this is another softball question. What constitutes mobility? When we say mobility, what is that?
Good question. So it really does depend on the setting and who you're talking to. Historically, it's been typically how do you get around in your community? Are you able to walk a certain distance? Are you able to drive? So that was always kind of considered mobility. In the hospital setting, in long-term care setting, we're looking at it more broadly, looking at in bed, are you able to turn yourself? Are you able to scooch up? Are you able to get yourself to the edge or side of the bed in order to get out of the bed with or without assistance. So much broader. And then again, within hospital setting, long-term care settings, are you able to get yourself to the toilet? Are you able to get yourself on and off of the toilet? Are you able to sit and eat? So all of that constitutes different aspects of mobility. How you move around in your environment, how you're expected to move around in your environment in order to complete all the tasks that people need to do throughout the day.
In a long-term care setting, at least my understanding is that what you've described, whether it's how the individual is going to ambulate, how they can move around in bed, the cognitive capacity to do those things, the physical capacity to do those things, those are accomplished through different assessments. So tell me then, why the BMAT? Why the bedside mobility assessment tool to replace those other assessments that already existed?
Well, and not that they necessarily need to replace, but I think they can be a good adjunct. And again, the real focus of the BMAT, the Bedside Mobility Assessment Tool, is to link to safe resident handling and mobility equipment, such as non-powered stand aids, powered sit-to-stand lifts, or total lifts that use a seated sling to help move someone. So that was the focus of the BMAT. Now, it's also used, for example, it could be used in conjunction with a simple test that at least some long-term care facilities have implemented, the chair or the sit-stand test. So going in the morning and making sure is the resident able to stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down, the way they did the day before. If you implemented the BMAT, I take it, the BMAT has basically four steps. And before I'd ask someone to stand, I'd want to make sure that they're ready to stand. So can they sit unassisted? Can they maintain their posture and do a little stretch, reaching across midline with their hands? Can they get their legs moving, straighten out their knees, pump their ankles a few times? That's one of the things that we can do, the skeletal muscle pump to help fluid shift. And again, to make sure, are the ankles moving? If your ankles aren't moving, you can't straighten out your leg, you're going to have a tough time standing and a real tough time walking. So I'd have them do those two things before I'd have them then stand. Can they stand for at least a brief amount of time and then sit back down and do it again? So I would incorporate the BMAT into the chair stand, just being a little bit more cautious. Again, depending on the level of dependence, independence of the resident.
Is this something in your mind, and you said real time. So I'm assuming that this might be something that's done every shift, maybe multiple times a shift, or is this more something like it's a comprehensive assessment that's done, unless there's a change in condition or there's a new admit or something like that?
And again, kind of different in acute care versus long-term care. In
Sure.
acute care, recommend it be done on admission at least minimum once per shift and with any significant change in the patient's status. In long-term care, again, depending on the type of residents that are in the facility or in the unit, I'd look at does it need to be done on a daily basis? Maybe, maybe not. If their condition is really plateaued, they're maintaining, then you might not need to or want to do it quite as often. Again, I think it's a good idea to ask people to get up and move a little bit to maintain their mobility status. I know at some long-term care facilities, they're having the aides go in, and I would have them do the first steps of the BMAT. Can you sit unsupported? Are you waking up? Make sure that brain and the feet are connected. And can you pump your ankles? Now let's have you stand. How does that feel? Now let's have you sit down and do it again. Again, that would be a nice little exercise to do, I think, with pretty much every resident, whether assisted living, if you're doing their med pass, it's like, okay, just take them through this. And then, frankly, note, do you see any change? Are they reporting any change? Who's going to come in and maybe say, you know what, we think we're seeing a change in this resident. It's time to maybe do a more thorough assessment.
You described four components. Walk me through those components. And you also hit on something interesting that it seems to me, from my understanding of what you just said, that an aide can do at least the first couple steps. So walk me through the four steps and who you envision is accomplishing these steps.
So, and again, just to be real clear, the BMAT was validated as a nursing assessment as part of the comprehensive assessment. But then, based on regulations, state nursing laws, a number of things, if a nurse can delegate that as a recheck to an aide. So that's how it's being used as a quick exercises or a recheck. But that has to be very clearly defined who's responsible for what and who's liable, where are the liability issues. So yeah, so a lot of aides are doing it because they've been trained on it. It's very simple. It's very tr simple to train patients, residents, family members on how to do it. So the four components are, can you first sit unassisted? So unsupported and cross midline and shake hands. So we're just challenging your sitting balance slightly by having you do an activity, reach across your body, shake a hand, and then that's the first step, sit and shake. The next one is called stretch or stretch and point. Again, wanting to connect the brain and the feet, basically get fluid shifting more. So straighten out one leg, straighten out the knee and pump the ankle, move the ankle back and forth through dorsiflexion, plantar flexion, and then do it with the other leg. If they can't do that, I would be leery to have them stand. I would be cautious about having them stand because again, you need to have that kind of control in order typically to have good standing balance. The next step is stand. And in a hospital setting, if there's any concern about orthostatic hypotension, which can also be an issue in long-term care, we have them stand for up to a minute. Research shows that usually within the first minute is when those symptoms of orthostatic hypotension you're going to experience. So, what's their standing tolerance, their standing balance? And then if they pass that, yep, they're looking good. Then you have the march in place. Again, shift their weight from one leg to the other. Really need to be able to do that. If I'm going to now ask you to walk to the bathroom or walk over and sit down in your chair or walk to the dining room. So the next step or the last one is, can you march in place? Not a high march, just shift weight from one foot to the other. And then the last component is step is step forward with one foot, bring the foot back. Step forward with the other foot, bring the other foot back. So if you start to egress or leave the bedside or the chair side and you're going, whoop, getting a little lightheaded, I want you to be able to take a step back and sit back down or help guide you to sit back down. So I don't want you getting too far, but it's just a more cautious approach. So those are the four components: sit and shake, stretch and point, stand and step with two components, march in place. Step forward, step back, step forward, step back.
Well, let me ask this. Does the BMAT is the BMAT envisioned to be modified, particularly in the long-term care setting, for example, where somebody is in a wheelchair. So they can probably do the first step, which is the bed mobility part, but nothing else. Like, is it designed for that person as well?
Well, it's designed for if you fail. a component. Let's say sit and shake. You come in and it's like, whoa, this person obviously cannot get to the side of the bed, or they can't have the bed and chair position and sit unsupported. That's apparent. They're automatically a mobility level one patient or a mobility level one resident, meaning they are going to need a lot of assistance and typically would be using a total lift with a seated sling, for example, to move that patient from their wheelchair to a recliner to their bed. The next, so if they pass that, they pass sit and shake. So now I'm going to go ahead and test stretch and point. Okay, so now we have them. Can you straighten out your leg and pump your ankle? No, they cannot do it. They're a mobility level two patient or resident. If they have no weight bearing issues, and depending on what their upper extremity strength is, I may be able to use a non-powered stand aid with them. So there's no reason they can't weight bear. It's just I know that they can't walk safely because they don't have enough lower extremity strength or control. So they would be a mobility level two patient or resident. And again, I'm going to look at what's going to be the most appropriate piece of equipment. Typically, for those types of folks, we're looking at non-powered stand aid or potentially a powered sit-to-stand lift to mobilize them, to move them.
Okay, so at the end of the day, it's the BMAT is going to spit out a number, for lack of a better term, and one through four, if I understand correctly. Okay, and then one through four, it's going to be the degrees of support device for that particular resident. Can you just kind of in general explain the different? I know you hit on it a little bit, but like, what we're looking at, like level four is what versus level one?
Well, so a level four, and now I'm talking about BMAT 2.0, so just to be clear on that. Level four means they passed sit and shake, stretch and point, stand, but they did not pass step. So I'm going to be looking at something that can help them walk in a hospital setting. I haven't seen it used much in long-term care, although I think it could be used effectively. I'd be looking at a lift where I can attach a walking harness or vest. And I'm going to allow the patient to do some strengthening or the resident to do some strengthening that way. Or again, if they're a level four and it's like their stepping isn't great, they may be a great patient where I'm going to use a non-powered stand aid, get them upright, have them some of the stand aids you really can step in place, do some marching in place, and that would be an effective tool to help them progress. In long-term care, I'm typically looking at, okay, how can I get them safely from their wheelchair, from their bed, over to a recliner, over to the dining area. So if they can pass all four of them, then they've passed all four. And depending on the setting, they're called a four AP all pass, or some folks are calling them mobility level fives that they really don't need equipment. They're looking good. They're real stable. So they would be the folks that again, typically they're not going to be in a wheelchair. I may allow them to do a short distance, but again, they're going to be somebody that really is very independent.
Would the BMAT be something, and forgive me if I've already asked this in a different way, but would the BMAT be something that could be incorporated like into the MDS assessment? Like, is this something that goes hand in hand, or is this separate and apart?
I think it absolutely could be. Again, I think you need to look at, we don't want to be overly redundant. I don't want to have staff to do more than what they need. But to me, it's that cautious, and where I've really seen it be impactful is aides have told me, I go in and the nurse says they're this or the PT says they're this, and I'm looking at them going, oh, they just don't. They're not expressing that they're doing all that well, or I'm thinking I have reason to question what they've said. So I'm going to take them through this quick recheck, and then I'm going to go ahead, even though PT said they were independent, nurse said they were independent, they want to get onto the toilet, I'm going to use my non-powered stand aid based on just a quick recheck and say, let's get you on the toilet and get you back to bed. Then I'm going to let the PT or the nurse know, I think you need to redo this. I think there's been a change or a decline with this particular resident or patient. Now, again, how frequently you do that and how you empower aides to do that I think really depends on the specific setting and the type of residence you have in that setting.
So what is Teresa Boynton's association with the BMAT? Like what brings you to the BMAT?
I worked for Banner Health. I started off working in outpatient industrial rehab, so with injured workers, way back when, was seeing way too many of the hospital we were associated with, nurses, especially CNAs, the certified nursing assistants or aides, and other folks from the hospital. So I was very much focused on rehabbing people and then preventing injuries. It's like, okay, let's go into the hospital. I was invited to by the risk manager, who was a friend, to take over, become a work for the hospital as the ergonomics and injury prevention specialist. It became real apparent to me early on that we were seeing injuries, especially from controlled descents or assisted falls, to staff people, and that if we had a better mobility assessment where they were really looking at the real-time status of the patient, not what they look like in the morning, not what they look like the day before, but right now, I have reason to doubt that you're able to get yourself safely out of bed to the toilet. So started looking at tools that were around, really couldn't find anything. This was back in 2003. And I tried a variety of things. I looked at a variety of things and was always working with nursing staff. I was sitting in on all the falls team meetings. This originally was for 4 hospitals in Colorado, and then it became 11 hospitals in the Western region, and then started leading the safe patient handling and mobility practices system-wide. That also included some of our small rural facilities had long-term care associated with those rural hospitals, so became very much aware of what was going on in that setting and nursing home settings. Anyway, and looked at what was out there in 2007, found a tool at a conference, the Quick 3, and thought this had promise. Eventually talked a nursing leader into piloting it. The nurses on that unit had a lot of good feedback. And because they recognized, the nurses recognized that they were getting their patients up more consistently, often and early, using equipment consistently, the SPHM lifts, and nurses' aides were getting injured less frequently, a whole lot less frequently, and patient falls were going down. So it really was like, okay, this is doing what we were hoping it would do. Built from that initial pilot study, ended up validating the tool at one of the Banner hospitals in Arizona. Baywood had a great team down there that helped to validate the tool and started seeing the same things. Consistent use of safe patient handling and mobility equipment, a decrease in falls because we're getting our patients up earlier and often, getting them moving, much more aware of their real-time status, and staff were not getting injured because they were using the equipment. So that was kind of, and then it really did kind of spread. It's like, what other areas can it be used in, either as is or sometimes as kind of a pre-questionnaire type of thing, sometimes used as a tool to teach family members. In the nursing homes, really looking at how they were using their SPHM equipment. Did they have enough equipment, the right kind of equipment for their residents? And did they have enough staff? Were they able to follow the regulations that, you know, to use a lift, a lot of states say you have to have 2 people. And the reality is a lot of times that was very difficult to accomplish, or sometimes just absolutely not able to accomplish that. So that's where that kind of led me. And then it's been used nationally and internationally, and I've gotten a lot of feedback. I've had a number, quite a few nurses that use it as their capstone projects for their doctoral projects. And yeah, so it's really kind of taken off. It's a very simple tool, really pretty straightforward. And the focus is, please be more cautious. Don't allow patients or residents to fall. Move them, transfer them safely, based on what their current real-time needs are.
Congratulations, that's amazing. What's the stats like how many long-term care facilities are you aware of that this is their assessment tool?
You know, I don't have any numbers. And again, typically for me, when I talk to folks, it's like, well, what other tools are you using and how can you incorporate this in? So I really don't know. I do know that facilities, long-term care, that really have adequate amounts and type of safe resident handling and mobility equipment, you know, it's a good tool. It's working well for them, along with some of their other tools. What other tools are you using to assess mobility? Are you looking at foot? What's your how do you assess for foot issues, shoe issues? So you know, incorporating it all in. So it really does need to be a more comprehensive program. But I'm afraid you know, I don't have any straightforward numbers. I just know over the years I've talked to a number of nursing home organizations. I've talked to individual nursing homes. I've gone into nursing homes typically after an incident where it's like, oh gosh, you don't have the right training, you don't have the right equipment, or you don't have enough slings. So need to fill that gap. Now let's talk about the assessment. Because, you know, if you're assessing or screening even for something, it should lead you to take a certain action. But if you cannot take the action because you don't have the right equipment, you don't have the staffing issue, you don't have enough staffing, you don't have the right slings, it's like all of that needs to be filled before you know, is this tool or any mobility assessment tool going to work for you? You got to fill those gaps first.
That makes absolute sense. And Teresa, really very much appreciate you coming on the show, sharing
Sure.
your knowledge. I can see you're very passionate about this, and as you should be. It's an amazing tool, and I hope that it spreads everywhere.
Thank you.
All right, folks, I hope that you found this episode educational. If you have any ideas for topics that you would like for me to talk about, please let me know. If you have any ideas for any guests that you would like for me to talk to, please let me know that as well. New episodes of the Nursing MBBS podcast come out every single Monday. For all those who are entering to win the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast mug, I wish you the absolute best of luck. And with that, folks, we'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Nothing said on this podcast, either by the host or the guest, should be construed as legal or medical advice, nor is intended to create an attorney-client relationship between the host or their guest and the listener. New episodes, for now, are available every other Monday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on your favorite podcast app, as well as on YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Again, that's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.